Since the time of production of that DVD about a year and a half ago, three more of our brothers have fallen in the service of our Lord. In the last 14 years of serving the Southern Sudanese Army, 16 of our staff have been killed in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you folks about one of our chaplains that fell in combat. We had heard that he had died at the front lines, but we did not know who he was or how he died. You know, when information comes from the front line, it's high-level encrypted military information. They don't share stuff that is non-essential. They just cannot. We later learned about who this chaplain was and what the last 3 days of his life were like. And I want to share with you what the last 3 days of his life were. Their army group would go into the largest battle of that year. The enemy attacked with 30,000 soldiers. We had 3,000 soldiers. They had helicopter gunships. They had MiG aircraft. They had artillery. They had tanks. All we had was foot soldiers. This chaplain, realizing that this would be a major battle and that many men would lose their lives, he used the tools that God gave him to fight. Do you know what he was doing the last 3 days of his life? He was praying and fasting when he fell into the arms of the Messiah. What will the last 3 days of your life look like? Will you be about the Father's business? Will you be engaged in the things of the kingdom? Or will you be caught up in all the cares of this world? We later learned that this chaplain's name was Daniel. Daniel gave all so that others might live. Why do we choose to die, folks? So that others might know the great hope and the great love of Jesus Christ. Our lives do not belong to us. They belong to the Lord. And the Bible says that he who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We as God's people are not to love the world. We are losing the battle for our nation because we have a generation that the Bible warned us was coming. And it said in the last days that men would be lovers of money and not lovers of God. Lovers of leisure, of pleasure, of all the toys. So many men of God, if we can call them that, spend their lives playing video games, watching sports, hunting. And while some of this in some small portion is okay, folks, when it consumes your life, you have missed the Great Commission. You were not created for this. You were created to be a light that was sitting on a hilltop. We were created to glorify Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says that we are a holy people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a people that is set aside for God's purposes. We were never to fit in this world. We were to be God's chosen people. This morning I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward. And folks, I don't allow people to bow their heads and close their eyes. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I know that if you cannot stand in a room full of people who love you, you're never going to handle it when persecution comes. See, I realize that most of you are probably born again. You've given your life to Jesus Christ, but I doubt very few of you have ever made this type of commitment. What you need to understand is that Jesus doesn't want 75% of you. He doesn't want 85%. He doesn't want 95%. With Jesus Christ, it is all or nothing. We're to be all in. The Bible says I would rather you be hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And the reason the Word of God teaches that is because the lukewarm believer is the worst witness for the gospel there is. It tells the world that we can live a world of compromise and there's no consequences. And folks, it is a lie. And that's why the Bible says, I want you to be hot. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you if you want these lives to get up and come down here, to stand up, whether you're a man, a woman, young or old. If you want this type of life, I'm going to ask you to get up and come down here, and we're going to pray that God would equip you. I want to say to the guys that so often when I give these altar calls, the first 20 that come forward tend to be the ladies. It should not be this way. Not only were you created to lead, you were created to lead from the front. And God has come here to do business with you today. Have you come here to do business with him? So this morning, if this is the life you want, I'm just going to ask you right now to get up out of your chairs and come down, and we're going to pray for you. If you want to, just come on down. Folks, in a moment, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to pray a sinner's prayer. I'm going to wrap both the sinner's prayer and a prayer of repentance together. Why? Because there may be someone here who's not born again. But I want you to think about what it is that's held you back from a life of absolute devotion to the Lord. For some of you ladies, you're in a relationship you're not supposed to be in with. The Lord has spoken to your heart, and he's told my daughter, he will never be serious. He will never lead you. You'll have to mother him the rest of your life. And God is saying, let him go. And that's very hard for some of you young women. And maybe you even think, what if he is the last one? What is the very least of your acceptable service for the one who sent his son to die for you? For some of you guys, you're caught up in the leisures of the world. You love to do all the pleasurable things. And guys, there's nothing wrong with going hunting or fishing and enjoying what a man enjoys. I'm going hunting in a week. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it consumes your life and there's no room for Christ, it is a problem. There's a problem when your work world is your life. See, we are to lead our families by example. One of the greatest legacies you can leave, give your children is a legacy of righteousness. And God wants us to live these type of lives. So we need to get things in the proper perspective. I'm going to pray out a prayer. And I'm going to ask that you would just repeat this prayer out loud afterwards after me. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I just confess that I am a sinner. And I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. And be my Lord, my God, and my Savior. This morning, Lord, I surrender my life to you. And I ask that you would take my life and use it for your glory. I turn away from the old life. And I now follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, I want to talk for just a moment about the next steps, because there are steps that you're going to need to understand. Many people don't know what to do. It is so important as a believer that you have a prayer life. Now, that doesn't mean that you pray 2 or 3 hours a day. But especially as a father, one of the greatest legacies you can give your children is to rise early and for them to wake and see their father in prayer. And even if they don't wake because you leave for work too early, for the mother to be able to tell them that your father was up this morning praying for you before he left. That is a legacy of righteousness. Abraham Lincoln said, the path that you want your children to travel, you must first travel that path yourself. It is important to have a study life. Now, many people do not know how to study the Word of God. Get yourself an iPod. There are a lot of great teachers on the internet, both Calvary and non-Calvary. Joe Foch from Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia is one of my favorites, but there's men like Leonard Ravenhill from England. He's now gone home to be with the Lord, a very passionate man for God. And have a study time. My study time is Tuesday night. My staff goes home at 5 o'clock. Often I'm there till 1 o'clock in the morning. I have 4 libraries, 2 at home and 2 at my office. And I get out my commentaries and I get my iPod and I just listen to the Lord. And it's a great time. You need to be tithing to your home church. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. Your pastor did not ask me to talk to you about this. He doesn't even know I'm going to say anything. But it's a principle in the Word of God that we are to give the first of our fruits to the Lord. Matter of fact, the Lord says, test me in this area and see if I will not be faithful. It is the only place in the Word of God that God says, test me. Matter of fact, he says, when you don't do it, you are stealing from God. You know, folks, during this latest recession we went through, ministries went out of business, churches went under, so many things collapsed. A lot of churches quit giving missions because they said, we can't afford it. Well, we're a mission organization, and we tithe. People think, well, what do you mean? You're missions and you tithe? Yeah, and it's more than 10% of our income, much more. But you know what? Our ministry grew just like this through a recession. Why? Because God honors his word. We did not do it for the gift. We did it to honor the Lord. You need to be able to share your faith. This is so important to you. As believers, look for every opportunity to share your faith. Invite people to church. You know, there's always those people out there that don't fit into society. You know, they're awkward. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to fit in. And Christians tend to pass them by all the time. But they are some of the people that need the love the most. The unpopular person. And you need to go to them and say, hey, brother, why don't you come to church on Sunday? I'll take you out to lunch afterwards. It works wonderfully. During Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade, I went to every neighbor in my neighborhood, invited them. I took a family every single night to that crusade. And I said, you know what? Why don't you come to the crusade? You're going to love the music. They'll love the music here. You're going to love the people. You're going to love the teaching. They will. And I'll take you out to lunch afterwards. What do you like? You like barbecue? You like Mexican? You like barbecue? I could always hook them with barbecue. Just reel them right on in. Matter of fact, John took me to that catfish place last night to eat where it's all you can eat. It took a month off my life, but it was worth every bite, you know. But invite them to go to lunch. I want to share with you guys is that you need to be looking to bring people into the kingdom. That is how you store treasures in heaven. My prayer for you is as a body of believers that maybe 3-4 years we come back and you're at 2 or 3 services. Why? Because you've caught the vision. Do not leave here and do not put into action. Repentance means turning around and making that full commitment to do what God has said. Every single one of you young men, God has made you strong for a purpose. Not so that you could be appealing to the young ladies, not so that you could show off your muscles. He made you that way to serve him. You've been gifted. Use it. Go out and share your faith. Invite people in. And the last thing before we close, folks, as you leave here, and I'm going to ask Pastor John to come up and close. As you leave here, we have a table outside. We are in an incredible war in the Sudan. I just came back from the front. Thousands upon thousands of dead bodies. They killed the women, the children, the pregnant women, the old people. They took the priests and the pastors and pulled their collars back and cut their throats. It was terrible. We will be at the front until this is over with. We have about 40 chaplains out there that need a sponsor. It is $40 a month to sponsor these guys. Now, guys, when people sponsor people, I'm just very honest about things. I don't like to beat around the bush. And they think, well, I don't know if I can do this. Well, like King David said, I will not give to the Lord what costs me nothing. Part of sponsorship, part of choosing to serve God, is that you do things that are difficult. But the reason we do this is not that we might receive, but that you might store your treasures in heaven. I'm not taking a raise for 9 years from my organization. My board argues with me about it every year, but I go, guys, I don't want to take a chance that there's a blemish on the Lord. So I don't want it. I'm okay. If you want to sponsor one, you can sponsor one. We've had people sponsor as many as 10 of these. Do not take it out of your church tithing. If you want to do it, please make it a gift above and beyond to the Lord. Now, you must pick out your chaplain, and you must fill out the form and give it back to us. Name, address, phone number, sign it at the bottom. It's an automatic debit. It comes out on the third of each month. Voided checks work best because we don't pay fees on it. But you can use a debit card or credit card. If you don't have your information, you want to do it, just fill it out and sign it. There's also a place down there for most needed. Some people just cannot afford it. Most needed is $15 a month or whatever you want to give. What is most needed? It's whatever it is. Food, medicine, whatever we need. We took up a lot of supplies to the front to help people. That's what most needed is. I do want to share with you that I've had to write letters to 3 of our donors this last year and say, we are sorry to inform you that the chaplain that you were sponsoring was killed in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while you may feel endeared to him, when one man falls, we send another one straight back to the front line. So if your chaplain is killed, we will send you another one, and we ask that you would love and care for him as much as the previous one. Because if we do not, guys, the enemy will come in like a flood. Let me leave you with this last thing. When one of our chaplains dies, I always hold a ceremony. And we invite our team, our members to come together. And we take two candles and we light them. We light one on one end and we hold it up. We light another one on both ends and we hold it up. And we have a saying in the Southern Sudan that a candle that burns twice as bright sometimes only burns half as long. It is not how long you burn, but how you burn. So let the Lord use you. Pastor John.